Irish sales of electric vehicles, or EVs, have increased by 470% in the first quarter of this year. We're told figures from the CSO, the Central Statistics Office, show there were 1,303 electric cars registered in the first 3 months of 2019, and that's up from 229 this time last year. However, sales remain relatively low by international standards, with EVs making up just 4% of total new car registrations. Experts feel this is linked to purchase cost and range anxiety, among other factors. But is this resistance likely to wane with advances in technology and government incentives? And what are the best new models available out there now? Kieran Byrne is still with us because he's got an interest in this subject. And joining us now is motoring journalist with Motorhub and the Irish Times, Michael Sheridan.
Hi, I'm Derek here. I'm coming in. It's mind yourself. The studio is quite small when you're on an electric scooter.
It is when you're going around and around. Yeah.
Don't get confused.
Explain.
It's a fantastic machine. Basically, it's made by Segway. SEAT have it under license. They're doing a sort of a sales promotion with it where they'll throw it in with a new car if you're quick, or they'll charge you 600 quid for it. And it's this part of electric vehicles and the need to worry about not only your journey, but the last kilometre, the last mile, as they call it. And an electric scooter is often ideal to get you that last mile. The trouble is, some people think you're a maniac. Other people think that they shouldn't be on the roads. Some people think they should be licensed and insured. To be honest, this thing can do 25 kilometres distance, and it can do up to 25 kilometres an hour. It's not a menace to society. It has solid rubber wheels. It's reasonably good. You have to have your wits about you. It's like pushing a scooter, a child's scooter that you would have been on as a kid. And it's one of those things where some people hate them, some people like them. I think they're actually no harm at all.
Is it an electric vehicle?
It is, has electrical propulsion helping it, but you have to push it to get it to move. So I think it falls into that lovely grey area of like electric bicycles or the mobilettes in France, where you actually have to turn pedals to get it to move. If you don't push it to faster than 3 kilometres per hour, this particular electric scooter won't, the electric assistance won't kick in. But there's a go lever with your right thumb. Your left lever is a stop, and they also have a friction brake on the back where if you press down on the rear mud guard with your foot, it will give additional braking as well. So I don't really see the need, and it would be impossible to legislate for. It'd be like saying that the age-old chestnut of every bicycle in the country should have insurance and tax and a registration plate. It's nonsense. Just common cop-on should work in this instance.
Well, you can see pictures of it on the website and a little video, rte.ie/mini. Richard, you had a go on it a little bit earlier. You were having difficulty with it too.
I'm still in shock, Derek.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
I'm wondering
what do you think? I mean, did you ride a scooter when you were a kid?
I was always on scooters when I was a child, yes. A wonderful way to get around. I recommend it highly, but it kind of defeats the purpose. The great thing of putting me on a scooter is I'd get more exercise, and if electricity is driving me, then it kind of compromises.
So you wouldn't be a fan of e-bikes either then, would you?
Well, you could put, if you were using a car, it seems to me, an e-car, and you're afraid you're going to run out of energy, you're going to have no electricity, the car stops. If you had one of these in the boot.
Well, that's the way some manufacturers are selling them, as Michael said at the beginning. Yeah. Anyway, it is the future, let's be honest about it. And that's why you're here today.
And if people are dangerous with them, throw the book at them.
Where are we in relation to electric cars? I mean, in relation to the government's climate action plan, what's going to happen?
They're saying they want 950,000.
And just remind everybody, this is 2019.
Exactly. So they want 950,000 EVs on the road by 2030. That won't happen. The manufacturers can't make them quick enough. It takes at least 3 years from the notion to development. If you're looking at EVs on sale in Ireland, they're getting better, but we have a very restricted pool. I could challenge most people, they wouldn't be able to name. There's 10 or 12 probably on sale, they'd be able to name 5. We've seen a massive increase in battery technology, which is great news. E-Niro and E-Soul have just been launched by Kia, and they're part of the Hyundai Kia group. They've got the electric Kona, the Ioniq, Nissan have the Leaf. What we've seen in recent years is the increase in battery capacity, which is great. So that's the number that people need to look at to make sure their vehicle can go the distance that they needed to go. We've seen the introduction last year of 40 kilowatts in the Nissan Leaf, and now there's even a longer range version with 62, 64 kilowatts. That's important because that brings you above the realistic world 300 kilometre range. And in theory, if you drive like a saint, you can get over 400 kilometres from the current crop of new ones. The big luxury ones are still ridiculous luxury machines like your Tesla. There's the terrific I-Pace from Jaguar, but that's 81,000. And Tesla and the Jag both get the 10 grand grant, which is a bit odd as well. We've got a load of smaller ones coming our way, the 208 from Peugeot and its sister car from DS, and its sister car again, the Opel Corsa. They're coming with interesting super mini sized electric vehicles down the line. But at the moment, you're still very much a hobbyist if you're getting into an EV. If you do get into it, you'll become committed and fanatical. You'll find that the public infrastructure is nowhere up to the task. And if you don't have a home charger, you're really leaving yourself open to a lot of anxieties and stresses. I have a home charger in my house whenever I have an EV on test. I'm always delighted to have it fully charged so that when I go off, I'm not relying on that network. Because if you pull up to a place and it's not working or somebody else is there,
exactly,
you have to engage in a protocol. If there's a committed EV user, they'll have a chat with you. They'll have left a whiteboard and a note with their number saying when they'll be back if they're not attending the car at that point in time. But some people
charge
will just rock
rage.
Up. Charge rage is a massive problem because people have been known to hit the emergency stop on chargers so that their car can get a charge. A lot of the time, if you have a public charge post with two sockets on it, the first car there gets the full charge. The next car to plug in while it's plugged in and active will only get a trickle charge and it will only swap over when
the
other car
solution.
Has its full charge.
And if the Irish government is listening now, and I want commission for this,
yes,
but I have a solution to all of the city councils and all of the county councils where you are in charge of parking spaces where you're charging for people to park their cars, put in induction plates.
Well, induction plates are coming.
Well, that, isn't that the way to do it? That way you don't need to find a charge point.
Absolutely. Or ideally,
you're
induction
not plugging
plates
into
will
anything.
Be built. Ideally, they'd be built into the roads or built into common braking areas like traffic lights and so on, where you can actually get a chance of getting a charge. You've got to remember that councils are very reluctant to give up parking spaces because they're an actual revenue stream.
No, but it would still be the parking spaces. So when you park your car and you put your money in the meter or whatever way you do it by your mobile phone, it, not only are you paying for the parking, you're paying for the charge.
And the nice thing is that will happen. The industry doesn't really know what it's trying to do because they're reluctant as well to talk to each other because they're in the business of making cars and selling cars for a profit. They've mastered selling diesel and petrol cars and even hybrid cars, which still will use an internal combustion engine. They know how to make profit on those things, but going into the whole areas of batteries and those precious resources and finding and making motors and so on, the electric motor part is fine, but finding the cobalt and the lithium to build the batteries and to harvest this and to make it practical and make it affordable for people
who
want a car.
Isn't that the problem? At the moment, these cars are expensive. And not only are they expensive, but to my eye, they're pretty ugly, the ones that are available.
Well, you know,
I don't fancy them at all. And I'll put my hand up. I drive a petrol car.
I was talking to Christophe Dupont in Renault. He was showing me the new Zoe last week in Paris. And he was saying that the early adopters are actually quite proud of having EVs that look like EVs. Because they stand out from the crowd. You know, there's no air vent at the front because they don't need that sort of immediate cooling on a radiator for an engine. They will need battery cooling, many of them, but that's another engineering thing. So a lot of people are happy enough to have an EV which stands out from the crowd. Like, look at the BMW i3, a fantastic piece of engineering. It built in Leipzig in a plant where it's powered by windmills. I've seen the production method. I've seen the honeycomb, carbon fiber reinforced plastic body shell, the way they hydroform and, you know, cuff with high pressure water and bond the car together with high-tech glues. It's phenomenal, brilliant engineering, structurally fantastic, but still not massively popular because even with the grants, you're still looking at the mid-30s to buy a car.
And
which
it's a
has
small car. It's a town
seats.
Car.
Town car. Lovely car to drive, brilliant. And EVs are fantastic. When you get into them, they just have a go pedal and a stop pedal. They're whisper quiet. They actually have to generate noise because you have
to. But then we're just going back to the future. My father worked in the swastika laundry in Ballsbridge, and part of his job was to recharge the old red and white swastika laundry vans, which were battery powered.
And I remember the milk floats only too well.
And they were just stop and go.
Yeah. But the technology isn't in place to all of a sudden have forecourts full of EVs, and that's the trouble. And also you've got sellers of cars who will sell what they have in front of them, and they will dissuade people from EVs because they might necessarily be able to access them. We're already taking all the supply of e-Niros and e-Souls, and I had an e-Soul early in the weekend. It was fantastic, really enjoyed it. They're already sold out. The allocation is sold out. Norway is hoovering up all of the EVs that are being built
well,
in regular
production.
They've
got hydropower in Norway, haven't they?
And
so they've plenty of electricity.
They're beautiful, and their model is perfect because for a start, Norway is filthy rich compared to us. Their electricity is so green and clean, it's ridiculous. So they can actually put all of these things in place with no harm, and then everybody is delighted. You pull into any business, any hotel, any workplace in Norway, in Oslo, any of the places, and you'll find the access point is all dedicated to EVs. And if you have an internal combustion engine, you're chucked out the back of the field, the back of beyond, because everybody has adopted this model because it's so much easier to do over there. The car company companies cannot make enough of these, or they are more important.
So
at the
these
moment,
targets
they can't make enough for profit
that everybody wants in Europe are just not achievable, you're saying?
Not at the moment.
Not by 2030.
And I always think the language was wrong as well, because it should have been by 2030 we're going to make sure that every car sold is electrified, which would have still included hybrids and allowed engines to be used as generators and so on.
Well, a lot of the new Audi and that, they have mild hybridisation.
Yeah, they've all mild hybrid systems to help pull down the CO2. Because let's face it, by putting the frighteners on everybody over diesel and the current crop of 6C emission diesels, Euro 6C emission diesels, there's nearly baby bunnies coming out of the tailpipe. They're very, very clean in terms of NOx. They're much cleaner than petrol cars in terms of CO2, which is what all these fines potentially are based on. So we should be still able and encouraging people to use cleaner vehicles. And also, hybrids are the very immediate, here and now, alternative to help reduce CO2. So Europe sets targets on the manufacturers to make CO2 emitting, like by 2020, they'll all have to 95 grams CO2. It's going to drop and drop and drop. So let the industry find a way of giving us cars which produce less pollution. Let's not just insist that electricity is the only way. Now, it is the way, but you can't ram it down people's throat when there's no supply, there's no choice.
What happens to all the cars we have now?
Exactly. Then we have to see how crazy government will go in persecuting people who are on their second-hand car, their used car, which is their only means of transport, who can't afford to buy or make the jump to
an EV. So it's got to be public transport, a lot of it initially.
That was
electric
the thing which
buses.
It amazed me that there wasn't a priority given on electric buses or public transport.
Well, I think we are getting
work.
Three. Dublin Bus are getting three, as I understand. But in China, they've got the largest fleet of electric buses in the world, I believe, in China.
And again, China is interesting because China only recently...
And it's very heavily polluted, China. I know Richard was there. I wasn't there, but I believe it's very heavily polluted, the air there.
Yeah, China was driving the whole EV thing. And I think the smaller EVs to buy, which only do short distances, you don't have to enter the lottery to actually own the car. Whereas larger cars, you have to enter a lottery and you've to sometimes wait up to 3 years before you're allowed to buy a car. They've taken all the subsidies away from larger EVs. So the manufacturers and all the Europeans are based over there as well, they have to all of a sudden make their business model work. And they've got a huge frightener, and that sort of depressed the car sales market globally, because China said, OK, hang on, we've given you incentives, now we're pulling the incentives away. And that's the issue. The manufacturers know that with the strike of a pen, a government can take away incentives. So if you took away the 10 grand incentive that's here on EV cars, all of a sudden your 25 grand Renault Zoe, which is a fine EV for using around the city, it has a 40 kilowatt. The new one is coming with a 52 kilowatt battery in the new year. If you take away that, all of a sudden a 25 grand car where you go, okay, at a push, yeah, that kind of nearly makes sense now, that could possibly do that, becomes 35 grand. And you're going, hang on, 35 grand gets me a lot of car with an internal combustion engine. So we have to gently take the whole population, which has been sold the diesel pup back in 2008, and we all shifted to diesel. We did what we were told. You can't just force people out of something into then a huge spend. A lot of people can't afford to do it. So if
it is the future, we're going that way regardless.
We are going that way.
And it's good.
And also to sort of anticipate, Richard, hydrogen fuel cells, that will be the really way to go forward.
Why hasn't that happened?
No,
it must be 20 years ago when we were in Reykjavik in Iceland and they were piloting hydrogen fuel celled buses.
And they were.
It hasn't happened.
No, and you will find more buses than cars running on hydrogen fuel. Toyota have the Miura and stuff, but we don't even have a filling station in Ireland, but we will very shortly, because the industry has an action group together on this. But the core of the issue is a hydrogen fuel cell is still an electric vehicle. It's an electric motor powering the wheels, or two motors if you want an all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. It's just the way electricity is generated, and it is the most efficient way. And it's also exciting because in Germany they have trains that they're pioneering of this. So you can have an electric train that doesn't need overhead cables because it has the ability to run on hydrogen fuel.
Anyway, listen, that's all we have time for, Michael. Thank you very much indeed. Karen, thank you very much indeed. Hopefully you'll come in again. Richard, thank you. Our researcher is John Riley. Our series producer is Anna Lenny. And on sound we had Noel Roberts. Until next time, goodbye.
And Mooney Goes Wild was presented by Derek Mooney.